top of the afternoon, evening, worst friends. This is Colin. Tim usually does the intros, but we found out earlier this week, unfortunately, we heard from the commissioner's office from the NBA that David Stern has actually suspended Tim for 1 minute of our show. So Tim's, you know, sitting out for the first minutes. I believe, you know, usually David Stern releases a fairly lengthy press release, but I guess the only thing he said was Tim's a chutzpah, and he suspended a minute. So Tim's sitting out, but no worries. I have a couple co-hosts in studio here with me. Live in studio, I have both of my dogs, Kima and Maggie. Maggie's currently, looks like she's just digesting, laying on the ground. And Kima is trying to pry a ball from my hand right now. So they might chirp in every now and then. You know, they're pretty opinionated dogs, especially with all the right-to-work stuff going on in Michigan. But we got a couple fun things on the plate today. We're going to do some slap and tickles. We're going to give a laser death stare, Steve Young stare to a couple people who got lined up. There's been some updates on the hashtag worst honeymoon that I'm going to touch on. And then we're going to, you know, maybe talk about podcasts in general. Stitcher just came out with their 2012 Stitcher Awards, podcasting awards. So later on, probably round out the show, we're going to go through some of those, let you know what categories we were nominated for, where we won, you know, what some of the upsets were. Has that been a minute?
It's actually been a minute 45.
All right, so you did more than, and he also fined you too, didn't he?
Well, I'm appealing that, so that's up in the air right now.
And pronounce it again, what he called you?
No, he said I had a lot of a chutzpah.
Yeah,
doing that impression.
So, well, you served your time, you didn't complain, but you're appealing the fine, so.
Right.
All right, well, let's get going.
How do you wanna start you off with a slap and tickle?
Yeah,
or
let me go through. I actually have a ton. I don't know why. I'm in a good mood this week. I have a couple.
I have a ton too, dude.
Okay. Well, let's start with, and again, you know, we always put a disclaimer at the beginning of the show. Not really, you know, that this is an adult program and there might be some adult language being used. But this actually doesn't count as a swear word because it's an individual's name. My first slap and tickle goes out to Shitty Bill, who is a friend of Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys. Bubbles met him in cart salvaging, and apparently the story goes that Shitty Bill used to poop himself a lot when he was younger.
Yep.
And the name just stuck.
But don't call him it.
The important thing is, with Shitty Bill, he hates being called Shitty Bill, so you don't want to call him.
Right.
Don't call him shitty to his face. Should we put that scene up?
Describe, oh, yeah, definitely.
The scene when we first meet Shitty Bill.
Well, as Colin was just talking about, basically, if you're familiar with Trailer Park Boys, which if you're listening to this, there's probably a good chance you are.
Hopefully.
Is Bubbles needs to get a semi-sleeper, just the cab from the junkyard. They want to pick it up for Ray,
mm-hmm.
Ricky's dad.
Yep.
Ricky wants to get it for him. And Bubbles knows a guy named Shitty Bill who can, he has a semi, a flatbed, and they can load it up. But as Colin mentioned, he used to have trouble controlling his bowels, and don't call him shitty.
Yeah, he used to poop himself when he was a kid, but don't call him shitty, though. Don't call him shitty.
It's offensive to him. And then it cuts to them loading up the semi-cab, and you just hear Bubbles go, "Well, get her up there, shitty." And then
where's the hydro? Is this the hydro? Can I hit it here, shitty?
Then Ricky's like, "Come on, shitty. Let's go." They just call it right away. Just start saying it.
And you said, because bless it that you remembered this. I mean, I've watched every episode. I didn't remember him, but you stumbled upon it because didn't you find he has a Twitter account?
Yeah. You know what? That can be part of the slap and tickle because I've been trying to do the Tumblrs and the Facebook pages or Twitter accounts like Clueless Helen and Smoking Jay Cutler and all that. And I didn't have one, but that's my shout out for the week in the social media world. Shitty Bill. At Shitty Bill, I believe it was. I'm not sure, but if you search Shitty Bill, it's likely you're going to find him. I don't know if it's the real one, obviously. But
don't call him shitty, though. He doesn't like it. Come on there, shitty. Get it up there. Yeah. So that's that. You know, I have maybe like three or four more. You want to throw one in real quick?
Yeah, we'll get the first one out of the way. That could be kind of controversial.
Uh oh.
That is to Marshall Mathers' daughter, Eminem's daughter Haley.
Yeah.
She did a little bit of smack talk on Twitter this week, directed at Taylor Swift.
Ooh.
Ripping on her. Apparently, she has a bit of a crush on Taylor Swift's current boyfriend, I believe.
Mm.
Let me see. Do you want me to look one up really quick, see if I can find one?
A picture of her?
No, just some of the tweets.
Oh, yeah, you can do that. Now, I guess there was a little Freudian slip right there. Is she good looking now? Like, how old is she? Is she good looking?
I don't know. Haley? She's probably in her teens, I'm sure, but
okay. I guess I still imagine her as living in a...
She's a good-looking young lady. You know what I mean? She's you can definitely see some Eminem in her.
Did he have her with... who is the girl from Clueless that died?
Brittany Murphy.
Yeah, did he have... Was that how the story went, 8 Mile? Was that the mama? Did he already have the daughter? Is it Kim Basinger's girl? I'm all messed up here.
No, that was his little sister.
Okay.
Kim Basinger?
Basinger. Basinger. While you're looking that up, do you have them up? Do you have some examples?
I'm searching for the exact Twitter account that it showed, and I'm not seeing it. So I'm guessing...
You're listening right now, folks. Hashtag us at worst preparation. Hashtag worst preparation.
It looks like it got deleted or something, I'm thinking. Anyways, yeah, she was ripping on her. It was entertaining.
Okay. Well, you know, if she's anything like her old man.
I'm sick of Taylor Swift too, so that's the main part of it.
You can hear the girls in the background. They're both Taylor Swift fans, so they're kind of upset.
All right, so we can move on. That one was fun. Uh oh.
Yeah, you're gonna hear. Even though I try to cover up the microphone, you're gonna hear semi uncomfortable father to dog conversations throughout this.
Let me just go to my next one while you fend off the dogs.
Yeah.
This is a slap and tickle to a man named Tickle.
Is he a character on Oz?
No, he is a character on Moonshiners.
Have you
caught that yet on History Channel?
I've seen previews for it. The highlight of the previews is when they spit into a fire and the fire, like, whoosh!
Yeah.
A big old flame.
It's good. It's not, you know, I know there's writing involved with it, as with everything on TV, but like I mentioned last week, Duck Dynasty, one that I've been watching. It's very, very... It's like they're acting. You know what
Real
I mean?
Scripted.
They're playing characters. And everything is very set up. This is these guys are just making moonshine. And, you know, so there's not a lot of all that goofy stuff. It's just getting down to business. Let's do it. You know what I mean?
Which is illegal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, how do they...
That's where Tickle comes in.
Okay.
Tickle was working with another hillbilly named Tim. And Tim is trying to build a legal still and do it the legal way.
Okay.
Well, and Tickle was helping him, but they're moving kind of slow. They're not getting a lot accomplished. And mm-hmm. Tickle is trying to tell Tim that, look, while we're working on this, we need to set up our old still out in the woods, you know, the legal one,
mm-hmm.
and start moving it so we have money. And Tim is, you know, he does not want to do this at all. He's trying to, like, he's just telling him, he's like, look, I'm not going to jail. I'm not risking it. Well, so Tickle they finally come to heads and, you know, are yelling at each other. And Tickle just says, peace out, and goes and he's setting up his own still. He's got a new partner. It was kind of fun, you know. He's this evil guy.
Is this the first episode you watched?
No, I've watched a few.
Okay.
But it's on the same time as Duck Dynasty, and I'm thinking that I'm going to start going to Moonshiners as the priority.
What channel is it on?
History Channel, I believe.
Does that bother you now that, like, TLC, the Learning Channel, has all this just crap on? History Channel now has shows like this. I mean,
no, because what bothers me about History Channels is more like Pawn Stars and Pickers and American Restoration, American this, American that.
Right, it's all
this
reality.
Show's good. This is a pretty interesting show, I think. Okay. And they have also have this special they've been doing, this miniseries called Mankind.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, showing these reenactments and telling the stories of all these different things in history. And
those are fine. Yeah.
And it's really good, too. And this series is pretty good. I mean, it's got its obvious characters, but it doesn't bother me because, you know, look, if all these stations weren't doing this, A&E Arts and Entertainment wouldn't have Storage Wars on it. You know what
right.
I mean?
It's, right. I guess I forgot what A&E even stood for.
Arts and Entertainment.
Well, sometimes, what's his name? The who has the skin cancer? The who wears Daryl. Daryl? Sometimes Daryl finds art.
Yeah, and he's like, "That's a $500 bill right there. That's a $50 bill."
$50. He has $50. Okay, so the Tickler. I actually think that's a character in Game of Thrones, but anyway.
Do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, I got one. Let's see what I... Yeah, give us something else.
Oh, I didn't realize I had this, but speaking of that show Mankind on History Channel, I just opened up this note on my phone and I have a slap and tickle to the actors on it.
No, there you go.
Have you ever watched any of those different shows they do on there? Maybe not that, but, you know, another one where they show the reenactors?
No.
I'll tell you what, man. These guys, I just think it'd be awesome to be like an extra on there. Like,
when they do reenactments of what?
When it shows, like, they're talking, maybe it's a special, say, about the Civil War, and it shows, like, this footage that they taped of, like, these actors acting out the scene that they're talking about and stuff. It's like, man, I wonder how much those guys get paid. I wonder what it's like to do that. Because they're basically all extras. But you get some that get the speaking roles like they do these ones, the Men Who Built America.
Uh-huh.
And, like, okay, you're going to play J.P. Morgan, and it's this courthouse scene where these judges are coming down on you.
There's never really any dialogue. There's always a narrator, and then it's just, like,
yeah, it's
grainy
like a
footage.
Quote.
Yeah.
They'll have, like, a quote. Well, these guys on Mankind the other night were doing, like, an Aztec warriors capture this guy and like they tie him up and he's fighting them, they're fighting back, and it's like this battle to death and stuff, and it was crazy, dude. It was like Mel Gibson's Apocalyptico. You know
oh,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Or is it just Apocalypto?
I think it was just Apocalypto.
Okay. I might be thinking of that band Apocalyptica, but
yeah.
But yeah, dude, I think it's awesome though. When I watch these, it's so cool, and it's doing like all these different things that you never really hear about, too. It's not just the Columbus expedition. It's like at the same time in, you know, India, or at the same time in Africa, and it'll be a country there.
I mean, I know what you're talking about. I mostly think they're crap just because they always have poor well, there's no special effects, but it's always poor costumes. Everything just really looks cheap, you know, and they'll have beards. The one that comes to mind is I'd watch the Hatfields and McCoys, the actual miniseries that they had with Kevin Costner and all of them. But then I also caught on one of the channels the true story behind the Hatfields and McCoys or whatever.
It's just and
the narration, and it's just the crappiest set pieces, you know, like weird little wooden plastic guns. Like they couldn't even afford like horses to like ride on. Like it just had like they had one horse like was used in like all the different scenes. Right. And it's always just so. I guess you're right. It'd be fun to do those because you knew that you wouldn't have to be that you could be, you wouldn't have to be that serious. You could just kind of have fun with it. We need to talk to our buddy Juice out in La La Land, out in Hollywood. He's got to have the, because you have to think at some point in the lower rungs of acting, you either veer off to do commercials and then weird documentary shows like that, or you veer off into porn. Right. Like, you have to think that's a Y in the road at some point if you don't make it big.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, well, are you done with your History Channel shows then, though?
Yep, those are all set.
Okay. Well, I want to actually give a slap and tickle. If you couldn't hear it on the microphone, I just gave myself one. So, slap and tickle to me for, and now I don't remember this, but I don't think you'd believe it if I just came out and said, hey, 4 years ago, I did this. I have evidence. I have a witness from one of the most trustworthy, honest, honorable friends that we have. So our friend Skake reminded me the other day that maybe 4 or 5 years ago, well, for people who want to know what the hell I'm talking about, Notre Dame is going to play Alabama in the national championship game, college football.
Oh, jeez.
So if you remember, the coach, Brian Kelly, used to coach at Grand Valley State. Then he coached at Central Michigan. Then he went on to Cincinnati. Then he ended up at Notre Dame. Well, a couple years ago, and, you know, I don't pretend to know everything, as you know, Tim. But a couple years ago, I made the claim, and I made sure to tell it to, again, one of our more, you know, steadfast, noble, honest, noble friends that we have, that, hey, I'll bet you Brian Kelly ends up at Notre Dame. Because at the time Charlie Weiss was there, I'm like, all right.
Oh, geez.
Charlie Weiss is either going to have a heart attack, he's going to need to get that gastric bypass surgery, or he's going to get fired.
Or he's going to have to get breast reduction.
When he gets the boot, though, they're going to bring in BK, win a national championship. And I'd forgotten all about this, because I'm guessing it came to me in a moment of clarity where I blacked out, but, you know, just... was able
I'm sure to... it was just you just were trying to prove a point, and you're just like, you know what?
You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen?
I'm telling you right now. Yep. You really don't believe it, but you're just like, you're not going to back down.
But Skake reminded me, I just get a text message. You called it. No idea what he's talking about. Like, what the hell are you talking about? BK, Notre Dame, you said he was going to go there and win it all. I'm like, you're right. Well, you're right. Thank you, Skake. So... we'll see if it actually does come true. Do you have a prediction in that game?
Oh, I'm kind of want to predict Alabama is going to roll them by probably 24 points, but okay. I don't know. I don't know if is Alabama really that great.
I don't know. Every game I've watched, like I watched the game they lost to A&M with Johnny Manziel. It doesn't look like if you spread the field on them, I don't think the secondaries is tough. I don't think you can run the ball on them, but I think you can throw on them. So I don't know. I'm going to wait to make a prediction.
Notre Dame good? Look at some of these games they had to squeak out.
I think they got a lot better near the end of the year when they stopped, when BK stopped yanking the quarterback in and out. Like their quarterback's on. He's good. But I'm going to wait. I need to hit the film vault with Jaws. You know, look at some film for probably another 4 weeks until I'm ready to...
You know, BK is so interesting to me. Me and my roommate were just talking about this today. You hear so many coaches get so much crap, yet there was the incident where that kid died.
Yes.
Like, that seemed to go away and get swept away really fast. Am I saying that, you know, obviously he can't control the wind, but, you know, you hear different accounts and that, you know, I don't know.
Told him to get up there. Oh, right. No. I thought when that happened last year, and they had an okay season. But right. In my head, I'm like, ooh, you know, it's something like that. You let something like – not saying he let it happen. It happened, right. You know, on his watch for whatever reason. Something like that happens, and then you're not performing at a school like that. Is you see that as a reason why a coach might get the boot.
Right.
And so I remember thinking, man – they did okay last year. I'm like, if they don't do good this year, you know, that we're in right now, I could see them, you know, giving him especially, you know, depending on the different coaches that were out there available for the job. But and there's something else, and this is taking a real dark turn, but I read something else, and maybe it was on like Grantland or something, that there was a female on campus who alleged that a player on Notre Dame had assaulted her or raped her, and then like 9 days later, she committed suicide, but you haven't heard anything at all about that. And you're right, like the kid falling out of that thing kind of went away, and you had to kind of like dig deep to hear this story. And of course, the name hasn't been released because the police could never, you know, substantiate any of the claims. And
right.
So, but again, that's something that you could see, like if they had a poor season, the higher ups at the school could just be like, all right, look, this is happening on BK's watch. Let's give him the boot. But I think either way now, you know, they'll probably extend him after this year. And, you know, whether he wins or not, you know, he'll probably hang out for a while. So
right.
Best of luck to him, you know. He coached some of our friends. He brought MAC championship to CMU while we were there. You remember, you were there a year before me. You know, football stunk.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't really want to go to the games. And then when BK
came to the games anyways. Except like the Motor City Bowl and the games down in Ford Field. I went to a few of those.
Oh, okay. See, I went to a lot of – well, I mean, when they started getting good. See, the first year it always pissed me off because they'd shoot that stinking cannon off.
Right.
And it'd wake me up on Saturdays, you know, at noon. You know, I'm still sleeping. The cannons would wake me up. But so anyway, I called it years ago. So I have – I think I have two more slap and tickles. What do you got?
I have two more.
Were you wet?
I have two more. Like I said, I was in a good mood this week. Maybe I got a little bit of Christmas spirit. The first one is, Colin, I've mentioned this fellow to you, that this guy's name's Jason. He owns a restaurant here in the community where I work called the Wagon Wheel Inn, a restaurant and bar. And basically, I've just recently been exposed to his food, and it's
You haven't
much...
exposed yourself to his food?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it does crazy things to you, so you never know what could happen. But we have this event that we do in the community, the city of West Branch, called the Art and Wine Walk. And it's different wine. There's different samples of wine in each business. There's artists who set up. And then there's also food, like caterers at restaurants around. He was in ours, and he brought some wings and some deep-fried pickles for us to eat throughout the night. Not to mention some bread and some crab dip.
I love those deep fried pickles, so.
Oh, dude, and they're the chips. They're not the spears, they're the chips. So it's like you're getting little deep fried pickle bites. They're even better. And then the other day, I was out working, and I was out on the road, and I'm like, man, it's lunchtime. Or it was actually almost 2. I'm like, I got to get something to eat. And I'm just sick of a lot of these places I go to a lot. And I'm like, you know, his food is pretty good. Maybe I could go out there and. I heard his burgers are good. Try one. I got a burger and appetizer, the deep fried pickles.
Of course.
And dude, they were it was so good. The burger was just excellent. The deep fried pickles were amazing again. And then it turns out too at our work Christmas party that he was catering it.
Mm-hmm.
And there I got a prime rib.
You sent me a picture.
Yeah, the weight was kind of being tossed around. We were trying to, you know, I was saying 2 to 2.5 pounds. Other people were saying it's more, so maybe we could say it was
really
2.5 to 3. Oh, dude, it was on these like decent sized oval plates, just covered them. Uh-huh. And like the whole plate was au jus, you know, with the rim like holding it in there. And of course, the prime rib was just doused with it. And it came with like a baked potato and a roll. I ate the roll. I looked at the potato. I'm like, I'm not even going to mess with it because I just got to get going on this prime rib. And I pretty much, you know, I polished her off. And I swear that, not that I've ever been in an altered state of mind before, you know, but no. I felt afterwards like on the verge of a food coma / like I was high or something. I was really lightheaded. Obviously, I could not move. And I was just sitting there afterwards, and I just fell out of it. I had, like, a couple beers before, and as I was eating this, I couldn't even finish, like, another one because I was just getting so stuffed. And afterwards, I sat there, and I was, like, spaced out, and, like, other people ate it, too. Like, my buddy from work who had one.
Mac?
Let's call him Mac.
Yeah.
He ate his, too, and, you know, he's about 160 pounds, you know, skinny as
a rail. Soaking wet, yeah.
And he took his down and the mashed potato. Impressive. And
some little guys that do that.
He was kind of the same way. It was just like we had to zone out for a while. This food was so good.
And what did I tell you? We're going to start a campaign to get him on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Oh yeah.
Triple D. So start writing a guy. That's how it always happens. Guy rolls in. Now you guys send me probably over 5 million emails a day. Right. Every single one, you know. So we'll just start emailing them. I'm gonna make a trip up north. This time I do, and it's on my list to try this place out. And you did it right too. You kind of said, well, don't, you know, that prime rib will probably be expensive. I usually, to judge a place, I need to have a burger right off the bat. You know, if it's a bar tavern type place, the way to really judge it is just to give a burger a try, see how that is, see how they cook it. You know, you want thick and you want to, at least when I order a medium, I want to see that they're competent enough to cook a medium. It looked like he cooked that prime rib perfect, you know, a little bit. It's hard to do it for catering for groups of people too. Like right. I prefer a medium rare prime rib, you know, a lot of good pink, a little bit of red, but a lot of people don't like that. So you need to try and cook it so that you're not, you know, it's not too dry, it's not too overdone. And it looked like he really nailed it. So yeah, kudos. What's his name again? John?
Jason. Yep. And then cool. staying close to home, that day I mentioned when I went there for lunch, I was out doing a story for our newspaper's agriculture and outdoors page that runs once a month, where we, you know, cover things pertaining to agriculture and the outdoors.
Absolutely.
And I figured around Christmas time I would do one on Christmas tree farms, go and talk to some of them, see what it's like to do that. You know, I never really imagined it. So I'm like, oh, I'll just go out there and went to one lady's house to talk to her that was running one. And when I was talking to her, her brother pulled up. And I wanted to get pictures, too. So, and he came up with a machete. And he's like, actually, I was just going out to trim this tree. So, I'm like, all right, you know, I'll get some pictures. He's swinging that machete around. And he goes out, and I'm getting ready to go out. And the lady, you know, I thought this was nice and deserving of Slap and Tickle. She asked me if I wanted a hat and gloves to wear.
No, that was nice.
That was really nice. And then I told her, obviously, I told her no thanks. And as I was leaving, after I took the picture, she came out the door and held me up and wanted to give me a candy cane before I left. So
that was nice.
Yep. So
it's the season, Tim.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, there's some good people up here. So that was nice.
Yeah.
Nice to get a little positivity.
Yeah, especially since you've been seeping back. We've been trying for this whole
power of positive thinking.
You've been slipping back over the dark side here or there, but yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Pay it forward. Got to pay it forward, though.
Do I have to?
I mean, that's what I got from the Kevin Spacey movie, so.
Okay, I'll try. It's a Haley Joel Osment movie.
Well, Kevin Spacey was in it.
Yeah, but let's be real. Let's be real about who the star is of that movie.
You're right, it's Haley Joel. Is it Haley Joe or Joel?
Joel.
Okay. All right, I got another one.
All right.
It's to my boy, who is a co-worker of the new Bilbo Baggins from The Hobbit. They're co-workers. My boy, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Uh-oh.
And yes, that is his name. He's I tried getting you to watch it, but I don't think you did. He's the new bad guy in the new Star Trek movie that's coming up. And he's also, where he kind of got famous, is he does kind of a modern-day Sherlock show, aptly named Sherlock. He plays Sherlock Holmes, and then
What channel is that on again?
BBC. Okay. But if you had Netflix like every other person in America, you could watch all the episodes on Netflix. And it's kind of cool because the first season, there's only three episodes. The mm-hmm. second season, there's only three episodes, but they're like hour and a half episodes.
That's cool.
And yeah, and they're awesome. They really are good. And I, go figure, have read all of the Sherlock Holmes stories. I don't know why. But it's set in modern day. You know, there's texting and all this other crap, modern day Britain. But they play off of the old Sherlock Holmes stories. So it's something you kind of notice, like there's characters from the old stories, you know, there's a Professor Moriarty and everything like that,
right.
But only in the updated show, Professor Moriarty is a criminal consultant. He has a consultant business, you know, they put a cool little twist on things, but it's just really good textbook, like mystery episodes. So he plays Sherlock and he's got a great British voice. If you watch the trailer, it's, dare I say, and I don't say this a lot, approaching the realm of Patrick Stewart's voice. And I know blasphemy. Well, I know. That's, you know, could be crossing the line right there. It has a great, deep British voice. And the Sherlock episodes are awesome. I like that they're both kind of getting, you know, a chance to make it big. Like I said, the one guy, Martin Freeman's playing Bilbo in The Hobbit. And my boy Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be the bad guy in the new Star Trek film. So...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, want to give him
some. It's always good when you see people like on a TV show or something, and you find out they're doing a movie. It's always, you know, it's always cool.
When any chance anyone gets to act alongside Harold Lee, you know you've made it. Right?
Well, I mean, seriously, though, how much did NPH's career, Neil Patrick Harris's career, get resurrected by Harold Lee?
I got the TV on. I got it muted, but I just saw in the time we've been talking, I've seen like three How I Met Your Mother promos.
Right.
So, yeah, NPH wouldn't be NPH without everyone says, oh, it's because he did Doogie Howser. No, it's because he was in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Yeah, he did
get
Doogie
it straight.
Howser then fell off the face of the earth forever.
Right. It was like 15 years of.
You know what? Actually, let's give more credit to Dave Chappelle and what's his name?
You mean from Undercover Brother?
Yeah, I can't remember. Eddie Griffin.
They brought him back, yeah. What was his name on that?
Lance.
Lance? You're right. We shouldn't. So, Benedict, my boy, I just pumped my chest. Cumberbatch. So, I have one more, but I think it might dovetail into some of the worst honeymoon updates I want to give. So, did you have one or two more slap and tickles? Maybe we can do our...
No, I don't have any more slap and tickles.
Okay. Well, I have one Death Ray Steve Young stare.
Okay.
Do you have one?
Nope.
Oh, you were in a good mood this week.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Dude.
Well, I'm purposely not saying anything right now.
Okay.
Because you want to know why?
You're staring someone down?
No. Yes. I'm giving you a Steve Young stare.
Okay.
Yeah. You and John Z get a Steve Young stare. Because every now and then, you know, you and I like to think we're pretty clever. You know, we usually have a lot of ideas. 90% of them usually aren't that good. Every now and then we stumble on something that's, you know, might be pretty funny. And you and John Z had an amazing idea. And it was to update the song We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel.
That wasn't my idea.
That was John Z's idea, but you were running with it. And you know that if it would have taken off, you would have taken credit for it. So don't lie. Now, this was maybe about a month and a half ago. You call and tell me, dude, John Z heard We Didn't Start the Fire on the way home. He's like, what if we just update it with all this new stuff? I'm like, that's a great idea. And then you called me back like a half hour later. Listen to what the final line is. The final line would be, Jersey Shore Storage Wars, I can't take it anymore. We didn't start. I'm like, that's amazing. That's awesome.
No, I first told you about it on the podcast. It was right at the end.
Okay. And that's it. You never finished it. You never did anything else with it. I thought that was an amazing idea, and now someone else is going to steal it, you know, and then throw it up online, put it on YouTube. It's probably already on YouTube, and you guys just dropped the ball. Did you ever work on it anymore?
No.
No? That was it.
I didn't even want to do it. He sat down. John Z did sit down and started writing down, like, all right, what's the events we have to cover? Just started writing everything down. And I was like, you know, we got to make sure. Talk about stupid TV and stuff like that. And that's how he came up with the last line. But I've been writing other stuff, dude. I can't play games.
I'm just saying, you guys dropped the ball on that one. That was a great. There's so much stuff you could do with it too. Johnsy's there with you. You need to tell Johnsy when you got off the phone. Like, I want a rough draft.
He's not here.
Oh, I thought you said he was there.
I don't think so.
I thought you said he was making you dinner.
No, he said he was going to, but I don't know what's going on with that. He was hanging out with Skake.
Oh, nothing good can come from that.
Nope.
All right. Well, that was it. That was my one Steve Young stare. You guys.
All right. So where do you want to go? Did you want to touch on the Stitcher Awards? Did you want to give the honeymoon update?
We'll give the honeymoon update really quick and then round things out with the Stitcher Awards. So
well,
now
I had one other thing I wanted to mention too, because we talked about doing this, and then you told me before that you didn't really have anything to say about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me touch on this, and then, yeah, we'll talk about that. So I'm pretty excited. Just got the tickets in my email, and I'd already told you this. I told you this earlier this week. But you know, one of the, we're going to spend about 2 days in New York on the honeymoon. Obviously I got some food places mapped out naturally. We want to go to maybe Central Park, but Rockefeller, see the Christmas tree,
right?
You know, Times Square. I did have an idea, and it all depends on if I can find a really cheap fedora. I wanted to do just like a funny little picture series of what Don Draper would think now. I don't know why I'd hashtag it Don Draper 2012, what Don would think. Basically put a fedora on and then have a cig hanging from my mouth and kind of that little duck face he makes.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a cig in when he's just completely uninterested.
Right.
He just has that cig dangling from his mouth. He's just like,
As you're saying this, I'm like making Don Draper faces to myself.
Right,
like
his, you know,
like goofy surprise face. Or his like eyebrows go up and he has like his eyes closed and his
right.
weird smile.
Right. No, nothing like upper lip hanging over like the cig, making kind of a duck uninterested face. Like,
you know, he makes these faces because he's like, and Andy Greenwald mentioned this. He thinks the reason he doesn't get more Emmy nominations because he's too handsome.
He's so damn
and
good.
But he's also really funny too. He's like a more of a comedic actor type guy.
Oh, he's hilarious. Like,
but he knows he's so handsome that people aren't going to laugh at him unless he really goes over the top. So he makes these faces, I think, just to like, look at. Here's what I could really be doing.
So that's what I wanted to, like, at different parts of New York, you know, because Mad Men takes place, you know, Madison Avenue.
Well, hold on, though. This sounds like a great idea, but I want to hear these tickets. I don't think you've told the audience what you're going to, these tickets you're getting. Am I thinking of the right thing?
I haven't yet. Let me finish this Don Draper thing, because okay. You may think it's a great idea, but when I started thinking about it more, it's pretty stupid. I don't know if my wife's going to want to take the picture of me. But really, all I do is make the exact same face. I'd have a fedora on. I'd have a cig hanging from my mouth. And I'd just be, you know, on Madison Avenue making
right.
a face. Then I'd be at the Christmas tree.
People would just think it was some random dude. They wouldn't be like, is that Don Draper?
Well, I know they wouldn't think it was Don Draper, but I'd still look like an asshole frowning with an unlit cig in my mouth and a fedora just standing in front of things having my wife take
right.
a picture of me. But just pop up different places around New York, like throw it up on the Worst Friends Facebook, Don at Central Park. You know, same pic, same facial expression, same thing, just uninterested Don Draper with a cig in 2012. So I don't know. I might do that. Like I said, it's literally hinging on if I can find a cheap fedora.
And cheap cigs.
Well, yeah, I'll just buy some basics.
Some Lucky Strikes.
Lucky Strikes. But anyway, so I'm looking for other things to do. And a friend of mine, a coworker who's knowledgeable of the world, suggested that maybe I look at some plays. See if there's a play showing, you know, that's kind of a fun, romantic thing to do. I even think, I think maybe South Park touched on the idea of how romantic it is.
Oh, yeah.
To take
musicals.
A date. Take a date to, oh, a musical. It was a musical. So I see Phantom of the Opera. I see like Chicago. I considered Chicago for maybe 5 seconds until I saw that it was starring Billy Ray Cyrus. Then I poured gasoline on my computer and lit it on fire. Saw Chicago. Was looking pretty hard at Phantom of the Opera just because it'd be a, oh, I saw Phantom of the Opera on Broadway. You
right.
know. And then out of the corner of my eye, just out of the peripheral where the little floaties hop up and down, because I was on some website, some Broadway plays website, I saw Glengarry Glenn Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Like, woo! And you and I have watched the movie. For those of you that don't know, it was originally a play written by someone who I think is famous for writing plays, that Mamet guy or whatever.
David Mamet.
Yeah. Then it was made into a movie. Movie's awesome. It plays like a play. It really takes place in maybe two rooms, an office room, mm-hmm. and then there's part in a restaurant.
Yep.
Starring Al Pacino, Kevin Spacey, Ed Harris, Alan Arkin, and then Jack Lemmon. All just kind of
with special guest Alec Baldwin.
Special guest Alec Baldwin, who has a very iconic scene at the very
right.
beginning. All dialogue. Tons of swear words, you know, it's awesome. A good little, it's a story that takes place again, basically in this office. So I'm like, ooh, you know, that's playing. I know I've seen the movie, but that kind of would be fun. I wonder who's in it. And I click on it. And now you and I have talked about how 100 years from now, TV scholars will look back at the great actors of our time. Mm-hmm. And they'll look at the show Burn Notice and say, wait a minute. Are you telling me that Bruce Campbell, John C. McGinley, Richard Schiff, Method Man, all of these guys were all on the same show, and it wasn't the most popular show of all time?
Right.
So I'm looking, and I start scrolling through the cast, and I see John C. McGinley's in it.
Right.
I see Richard Schiff's in it. I see, you haven't been watching the third season of Boardwalk Empire, but kind of the main bad dude that was introduced in season three is this guy, Jip Rossetti.
Yeah.
And I love the character, and I love the dude that plays him. I think it's Robert Cannavale. I don't know. Big strapping Italian dude, slick back hair, really plays a gangster well. He's in it too. I'm like, this is a great cast. But what took the cake, Tim, was right up. The way the poster was advertised is kind of like in the middle. It said Glengarry Glen Ross. At the bottom, it said Mamet. At the top, it said Pacino.
Right.
And I kind of, you know, took my spectacles off, cleaned them, rubbed my eyeballs. Al Pacino is starring on this Broadway play of Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah.
I think I had a bowel movement.
As we said, he's like the star in the movie. You know what I mean?
He was nominated for an Oscar in the movie.
Not to mention it's Al Pacino.
Yeah, it's Pacino. I could sit there and watch Michael Corleone. Are you kidding me?
Right.
The only one little thing that threw me off is he's not playing the character he played in the movie. Mm-hmm. Richard Roma or Ricky Roma or whatever. He's playing the Jack Lemmon character, which after I thought about it for a while, you know, the Jack Lemmon character was kind of just an old timer, real down and out, you know, kind of on his legs. And I think maybe Pacino, who am I to question if Pacino can do it? Obviously he can do it, but I think I'll be fine with that. And then that Robert Cannavale or whatever, the younger slick Italian fellow is going to play the Roma part. And I think I'm fine with that, you know? So bought the tickets. I just got them in my email. I think it was either this morning or last night. Had another bowel movement in my pants. I was so excited. So this might, I know it's my honeymoon and everything, but this is probably take the cake. I'm pretty excited about this. Oh, and I asked you the question because there was that moment where it's like, okay, do you spend the money? Do you do this? Could we be doing something else? And I asked you, I go, is there any way I don't watch this? Well, you're an idiot if you don't. Was your response.
That's the awesome thing about New York. I mean, L.A., you know, is bigger into the TV and stuff, but New York, it's, you know, plays that are going on and on that you can just go to and see. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're basically seeing a movie, but you're seeing all these guys live performing on stage.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's crazy. Who's Ed Harris's part? Is that going to be McGinley? He would be good at that part.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
You know, I looked it up. Yeah. Ed Harris's part is McGinley. Richard Schiff is playing Alan Arkin's part, which I think fits good because Alan Arkin's part was kind of a very nervous, a very uptight, whimsical fellow who was insulted very easily.
Was he the guy who was buying, that Pacino was trying to work the deal out with?
No, there's someone I don't know playing that part.
Okay.
So those are and then there's a guy I kind of recognize. He's been in some other things. Who's playing Spacey's part? Mm-hmm. If Spacey would have been in it,
oh man,
I can't get greedy because look at who I'm going to get to see.
We do have to remember too. I can't remember how we established it, but one of the things we'd established was that calling somebody as Colin mentioned, we might have to use some adult language, a fucking child. Fucking child. With Pacino, Spacey Pacino kind of blows Pacino. Everything up, and you know he's the supervisor overseeing this office full of these just absurd, obscene, loud, obnoxious, just balls to the wall salesmen who, you know, are just
shysters,
right? Flipping deal after deal after deal, talking and spitting,
holding
the game,
things over
this,
on people,
saying that,
phone.
Just nonstop, and he blows this big deal, and Pacino. That's like after he calls him every swear word in the book and is just hollering at his face what ends it by calling him a child. And it seems like it's the most like insulting thing ever. like you can see Kevin Spacey just like, ah, like
broken down.
And then of course Jack Lemmon smells blood, so comes along.
Piles on. Yeah. Stirring his coffee. Just piles right on. So I'm real excited. I'm afraid I'm gonna just, you know, when like Richard Schiff first comes on screen, I just like a little girl maybe being Toby.
Right. You know? So,
but you want to know what? God bless my wife though. You know, she's like, you know what? She's like, that'll, because it was actually playing on TV. It was on Netflix maybe like 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You know, 11 o'clock at night. I'm trying to find a movie to watch. I'd had a few Chardonnays. I'm like, oh, Glengarry Glen Ross is on. And my wife watched for like 5 minutes, had no idea what was going on, called it a night, and I kept on watching it. You know, because it's just, it's pure acting is what you're, right. It's great dialogue and pure acting. So I was kind of worried she might not be up for it, but she's like, no, she's like, it will be a lot more fun watching it in person, like you said, getting to see all these people. The only thing I'm worried about, see, we're seeing a 2 o'clock matinee the day after Christmas.
Right.
And so there's the potential that day after Christmas, it's the early show. What if one of these guys, you know, what if the stand-in plays one of the roles? One of these guys decides to bail on this particular show. And the only thing I guess that would make it up is if they were announcing it and they said that the role of Ricky Roma will not be played by Robert Cannavale. Oh, it will be played by Kirk Cameron. Oh!
And what are you doing? Oh, just watching Kirk Cameron and Glengarry Glen Ross.
So there is that chance, but I kind of walked the line between, I got good seats at the price that they were at, but I didn't, you know, break the wallet to get right up front because I wanted to see, you know, Al Pacino. So if something like that did happen, it wouldn't break my heart. I think I'd be more sad if like McGinley or Schiff bailed than Pacino. But so that's going on. We'll have some more updates.
Well, that's cool. When you first, like you said, when you told me about it, I was just like, dude, you're going to be in New York and this is happening. You're already on a honeymoon, so you're spending money. It's right. Like you have to do that. So that's something I'm going to want to see. You know, obviously we're going to want to hear an update on it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And then we've also been, you mentioned Burn Notice briefly, and we just found out actually yesterday, the day before we were recording this, that Michigan's own and one of our, you know, a friend of the podcast, Mr. Bruce Campbell.
Even if he doesn't know it,
he's going to be performing in Royal Oak Music Theater. Not performing, but, you know, he does his tours, his Q&As, his meet and greets.
Uh-huh.
Where he, you know, I'm sure he tells stories about this or that, or, you know, I'm sure when you ask him a question, his answer is just so interesting. Well, he's going to be at Royal Oak Music Theater, an evening with Bruce Campbell.
Yep.
And I'm really thinking we should just pony up the VIP costs. I mean,
you think so and meet him?
Unless they're limited, but I don't know. I guess it's not really that necessary either. But it's March 3rd. He's going to be in Michigan.
Yep, you called and told me, and it was one of those.
Yeah, I told you I didn't text it because I wanted to just tell you this. And I was like, he's probably not going to be able to answer his phone, but I'll try anyways and leave him a message and tell him to call me.
Yep. It was one of those things where right away when you mentioned it, I'm like, yeah, we're going to go.
Right.
Yeah. When is it? Yep, okay. Yeah, we'll go. Because just think within – that's in March, December, January, February, March. Within a four-month time span, I will – and I apologize to leave you out. I don't mean to rub this in. But I will have seen some of the most influential people behind this podcast and behind, right, you know, art, cinema, and television that we adore. I'll have seen, you know, some of the best, you know, right, BC. And we're going to, you know, we'll have by then, we'll have a pitch ready to go. You know, we'll have, you know, we'll let them know that we cast them in the 2012 Republican nomination movie, and that we have a script going. That's what we have to say, that we have a script in process, because I think he'd want to have some creative leeway in the script writing, you know. Well, I'll give him a writing credit.
I don't know, though. When I read his book, which was a – fictional book about him making a movie starring him and Richard Gere. It talks about how he starts getting the director and producers to, he starts influencing them, and they start ditching special effects and start using dummies, and they have like all these ridiculous things. So, but yeah, it's definitely sweet though that you're going to be able to see. I mean, McGinley and Campbell were obviously on the other guys' podcast. A couple weeks ago, we talked about The Godfather with Pacino.
Yeah.
Have we ever really talked that much about West Wing on here, or not really? We probably just mentioned it here and there.
Should make a point to. I know we've dropped Richard Schiff's name before.
Yeah.
Just I think from our burn notice rants.
Yeah.
Yeah. On burn notice.
So obviously, there's that. You know, so that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll count myself lucky. So we got that coming up, and we're going to see something else then too, right?
Well, The Hobbit.
The Hobbit.
Right. Now, I've pretty much given up on making the trip. I'm thinking I'm just going to pony up and watch it at the little theater up here.
I thought we were going to see it in Saginaw.
Oh, okay. I kind of spaced out on that earlier today.
Well, yeah, sorry. I was trying to get you to come all the way down here, and then
we're going to meet up at Saginaw and watch it. Now, first off, let me say I'm super excited. You know, I'm not jumping up and down. I'm not going to wait in line for hours and hours a day before or anything like that. But, you know, I'm pretty excited. It's been a while that there's a movie where it's like, all right, I got to go see this. I saw the old ones in theaters, so I got to see this one.
Yep.
Now, I've been seeing the trailers and stuff, and it looks pretty good. You know, obviously you see Gandalf's big old mug.
Oh, yeah, big old beard.
A little bit of Smeagol.
Yep.
I do have a concern, though. And I don't know if this is legit or not, because I don't really know the story that well behind the movie. But I don't know what the big conflict in this movie is. Is it like going to tell a story of the ring and Sauron and all that stuff? I don't really know that. You know, I don't know who's fighting who.
Well,
I know that Bilbo's going on this adventure, but I don't really know much more.
You can call it an adventure, or you could call it an unexpected journey.
Yeah, right.
Well, here, let me ask you, have you read any reviews yet?
No, I haven't. I've just...
Are you going to? You tend to do that. You tend to ruin things for yourself a little early on. Are you going to read any reviews?
I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't... If I run across one, I might, but I don't know.
I've read two now in like kind of half of a third one. Mm-hmm. And I've read the books. And then there was an old cartoon version of it forever ago I read the Hobbit. It's just based on one book. And then there was an old cartoon version I know I watched forever ago. I'll leave it up to you if you want to read any of the reviews. I will say, though, that to kind of answer one of your questions is the stakes. Because they made it into three now. It's going to be three movies, right?
Right.
The stakes definitely aren't as high as
the original Sauron's trilogy.
Sauron's gonna, you know, destroy all of Middle Earth or rule it, you know, or conquer all of Middle Earth. It's not. What I don't know is that they're pulling a lot of, because there's the Hobbit, and then there are like all these weird like indexes or bibliographies or Tolkien there.
Right.
Stuff he didn't include in the books are mentioned in like what's the word for
the appendix? Appendices. Yeah.
Or things like that, that there's mentioning different things. So I guess they're pulling all this added history, all this added material from different areas and inserting them into these Hobbit movies. And so what that does, that it'll, I think it's supposed to tie it into the greater adventure that was in Lord of the Rings. But at the same time, it's not going to be as grandiose.
All right.
So I'm kind of, and like I said, I read some of the reviews. I'm not, I don't want to get my hopes up too much. I hope it's just a good, fun. I mentioned this to my wife just because of the movies that we've been going to see. Because like, I really wanted to see the James Bond movie because it just looks like a good, fun action over the top movie.
Right.
I mean, we've been seeing too many serious. You know, we went to see The Master, which made me, you know, wet myself. Went to see Lincoln,
went to see Argo. We're seeing all these great movies, but just
too
very
much intensity.
Yeah, long, methodical, lots of thinking.
That's why you gotta mix in some Duck Dynasty and Moonshiners.
So I'm hoping that The Hobbit will fulfill that just as a fun, kind of just, you know, over the top, exciting movie to watch.
That's more of a downer to me. I mean, I was hoping that it was going to be just as intense. You know, that was like my concern, is that, you know, there's no Aragorn, no Viggo,
like Legolas, 12 dwarfs,
Gimli.
It's 12
and,
dwarfs.
You know, hobbits, they're not exactly the most, you know, exciting, kick-ass species/race in Middle Earth. You know what I mean?
Are you afraid that you might be experiencing the 21st century version of the Star Wars prequels?
I don't know, dude.
Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared if that's what happens?
I don't know. That's, you know, I'm hoping that there's more than just hobbits running scared away from stuff. That's kind of their defense mechanism. You know,
there's only
going
to be one hobbit, but there's going to be a lot of dwarfs running around, so I hope you're prepared for that.
Well,
and I hope everyone
bad.
Knows.
Gimli was a dwarf, right?
Right.
They're not bad.
No,
they
I hope people know I'm not saying that
it,
in the
It looks like I've seen some new elves in there, too. Am I correct in that thinking?
Oh, well, Legolas is going to be in it.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
Dude. Is it going to be Orlando Bloom?
Yep. Yeah, I've already seen pictures of him. I don't know if he's in this movie. I know I've seen pictures of him in character. I guess I don't know specifically
okay.
if he's in.
Maybe
this.
He's just walking up and down the street. Like, hey, guys, you do remember this too, right?
Hey, look, as far as I know, Orlando Bloom might be a nomination for the MIRV Award as far as what
right.
is he doing?
Right.
I think we have to, again, I have some reservations about it. I'm trying not to get my hopes up, but I think because of our attachment to the franchise, we're required to go. This is what we need. There's no waiting for this to come out on DVD for us.
Oh,
we have to go and experience it. So.
Yeah, definitely. It's, I don't know. I just want to make sure I didn't have some, you know, what my concerns were completely unfounded.
I mean, it might be.
So, you never know. Either Peter Jackson might just beef it all right up.
Mm-hmm.
We might see Gandalf as like a Taekwondo master or something.
Oh, I've seen shots with him doing the patented staff in one hand, sword in the other.
Oh yeah, that's good.
That's
good to
move,
know.
So, yep.
He also likes it when he whips out a big magic trick, kind of like twist the staff around his head and like come, like, you know, with a warrior pose afterwards and the follow through. I'm acting it out like the follow through, but you can't see it.
I will say that the movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall kind of ruined the whole "You shall not pass." who's that asshole in that movie?
Jason Segel.
Jason Segel does it in his robe. It's kind of come on, but so all right, let's round this out.
Yep. What do you got to close with here?
Well, you sent me, is maybe 2 days ago, you sent me a link to the 2012 Stitcher Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what it looks like is all awards for podcasts.
Well, do you know what Stitcher Radio is?
Nope.
Okay, I have it on my phone. It's a podcast app where it's basically you make your own podcast radio stations. Like, I have Tim's Station, which includes the award-winning Nerdist podcast.
Yep.
It also includes the award-winning WTF with Mark Maron podcast.
All,
and it also includes the award-winning
Stitcher
NPR.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. The Stitcher award-winning NPR Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So that's
I didn't
my
know you listened to that one. What's that one about?
It's a show on NPR. It's like a comedy trivia show where they go over events from like the past week or two. And they always have like different guests. Like the host is a guy named Peter Sagal, and he has an announcer, Carl Castle, with him. They're both funny. They have a lot of like different comedians on there. One time, Drew Carey was a host one time.
Mm-hmm.
Paula Poundstone, are you familiar
mm-hmm.
with her? She's on there quite a bit. Do you know the humorous PJ O'Rourke? Do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
Okay, he's on Bill Maher's show a lot. He's on there. A lot of different people like that. You know, from news or whatever. Mo Rocca is on there.
Okay.
And they basically have these different things like different games that the panel plays, or that people call in, and like the panel will do this, and they have to guess the right one. And it's a trivia show, like I said, of current events with a lot of funny little jokes here and there.
Okay.
And then, so that's what Stitcher is. And they did, okay. I think this is maybe the second year they did their awards, but I'm not positive.
And there's all these characters, and I hate to ruin it for everyone, but unfortunately, the Worst Friends podcast did not win anything.
Yeah, we got snubbed this year.
We're listed as any runners-up. We didn't even
get... There's the Best New Podcast Award, which we didn't even get a runner-up spot.
Didn't even get a runner-up.
And here's what sucks now, is that if the podcast ever blows up, are we going to be disqualified because technically we're an old podcast?
No. We'll get it in there. Well, we'll sweep multiple categories.
That's my problem. I overthink stuff like that.
I guess my question to you is, I was scrolling through here, and there's, if I count really quickly, maybe 15, 20 different categories. Mm-hmm. And now you can see where some of them, like most original journalism, best entertainment and pop culture, best film, best health and lifestyle, best sports, right, best science. Now, when we were first originally, brain shitting this out, we discussed, do we want to be focused on one area or two? Do we want to try and focus on a specific genre? Mm-hmm. And even though I think we decided no, even though as we've gone on, the podcast has kind of focused itself. But do you think that is a direction that's worth taking? I mean, you listen to three or four award-winning ones. Mm-hmm. Do you find that the better ones are more focused on specific things, and that's something that we should do, or do you think it should all? We're better off having just it be a free for all. What are your thoughts on like specific genres?
Well, it's hard to say because like the Nerdist, which I believe, do you have it up right now? That one, best comedy podcast, right?
Yes.
It's also a runner up on entertainment and pop culture, I find.
Yes. Yep. Correct. There's a bunch of them in different categories.
So, obviously, you know, we talk a lot about TV, movies, that sort of things, just because that's something, you know, everybody knows, everybody pays attention to, mm-hmm, whether that's good as a country or not.
Right.
But we also, you know, we laugh a lot. You know, we've come up, obviously, David Stern's been calling, we've been doing, you know, he's been showing up with making an ass out of himself. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of different funny stuff too, you know. So are you saying should we focus it more on one genre?
Well, just when I look at some of like the runners up, like best TV and film, see some, you know, one's film sack, mm-hmm, film spotting. Do you think it's something we should consider to maybe narrow down some of what we do into more of a finely tuned genre, or that we're better off? Because again, there's best entertainment and pop culture.
Right.
But even that too, we might leave out certain sports topics that we talk about. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's something we should explore? I guess I'm just kind of asking about the future and the direction that we're taking.
I think we should aim for most original podcast.
And what does that mean to you?
That means to me that there's really not, it's really different than anything else. It kind of sets itself apart.
Okay, and what do you think we could do that would set itself apart from, if we talk about sports, we talk about movies, we talk about TV, that's all things that are kind of being hit on right now. How exactly would we set ourselves apart?
What I think it would be, and what I've been trying to do at least, is have a big emphasis on social media and trying to reach out to people on Facebook and Twitter and get them to chime in. And then it obviously hasn't been going as well as I'd hoped. You know what I mean? But that's what I think would really kind of set us apart from those, is that because we talk about how we're not experts on any of these things, and really you know, a lot of times fans, when they listen to radio or, you know, entertainment news, something like that, the experts can come off as kind of lofty or stuffy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think that if we could really tie in our outreach to our fans and make them feel like they're a part of a show, because people that are our real life friends, I hate saying that, real life friends, it sounds so dumb, but people who actually know us, you know, aren't just podcast listeners, but know us personally, they always talk about, like, yeah, it'd be cool if you guys would call, if you're talking about something, I'd like to call in on that. And I was like, well, you know, tweet us or tell us on Facebook. We would mention it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if we could do that, and then also, you know, maybe have, like, little online stuff through Twitter and Facebook, or if, you know, we ever get our own site, which, you know, long-term would be, you obviously are going to want your own individual page that is original for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we make them feel like they're a part of it and that they're helping us discuss this, because you'll hear a lot of funny stuff from people. You know, fans of celebrities, you know, when they reach out to them, most of the time it's just like, hey, big fan or whatever. But if, you know, if you're a fan of someone who's going to include you in the show, maybe you'll try and come up with something funny. You know, if someone puts something funny on our Facebook page and they know that it made us laugh, or they think that it made us laugh and they know that they might get mentioned on the podcast, they'd be more apt to interact with us, more apt to be active on those. So that's what I think would really set us apart. And, you know, also keep doing the writing we do, our own original things, our own personalities, all that stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. Now let's take a look at this like we're Harvey Weinstein, like we're the Weinstein brothers. Mm-hmm. Which of these awards, if our goal is to pop up on these Stitcher awards, what should we aim for? Like, what do we need to start campaigning for and focusing on? You said most original.
Well, I would
best
try.
Biblical show.
Best faith-based podcast.
There's best film and TV. Mm-hmm. Best new show, even if we've been on for 3 years before it pops up there.
Right.
Maybe I'll start my own little mini podcast and try to aim for best food and cooking. Ooh, best album art. We can get my sister involved.
That would be a good one.
Best comedy. I mean, there's some rough. Look at the best comedy. Nerdist, The Adam Carolla Show, Rogan Experience, WTF with Marc Maron, and I don't recognize the other ones. Mm-hmm. Were there any, when you went through this list, any podcasts that you hadn't heard of, but you saw the name and you're like, ooh, I should listen to that one?
There's quite a few I think I haven't heard of. Well, who are the other comedy ones again?
Let me tell you what mine was the one that jumped out to me was The Black Guy Who Tips.
Yeah, that one was funny. What was that, the most original?
Yeah.
That was a funny name. Now, one of them on most original, is it Joey Diaz? Oh, what's the story? It's like a fat guy with blue. The Church According to...
The Church of What's Happening.
Yeah, that one with Joey Diaz. That's he's been on a lot of Joe Rogan ones and stuff like that.
Oh, okay, I know who
so
that is.
So I listened to one of his. He's the fat guy from
Yep.
Longest Yard. You Yep. assholes better not cut me. Somebody bring me a Diet Coke.
Somebody That's, bring me a Coke.
I've listened to his a couple times, and he tells really good stories, but it wasn't one that I wanted to keep listening to. It wasn't as interesting to me.
Okay. Well, I thought that was cool. Maybe we'll throw that link up, and maybe we'll just throw it up and say, click here and see where the worst friends ended up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're not even on Stitcher, but.
No.
You should definitely check out that app, though. You'd probably get to listen to more podcasts, and you could, you know, pick some more stuff up.
I know. We've talked about this. The times during the day that you're able to devote to podcast listening, unfortunately, aren't as available to myself, but.
Man, I'm on the phone and stuff all the time at work, too.
Yeah, you know. All right, that's all I got.
All right. Well, I really want to tell these people goodbye, but I just feel like I need something to set the mood. So, Colin, can you make it can you play me something that's going to make me feel, you know, in the mood to part with these people?
All right, let's do this. Hey, blue on black, tears on river, push on the shore, don't mean much.
Hold on, dude.
This is what we're doing at the end now. I'm going to sing a song.
I know you're going to sing a song, dude. You bust out some Kenny Wayne Shepherd. And let me tell you, I haven't heard that song since last night when the dude at our Christmas party that got paid to come in and sing and play guitar busted it out.
Really?
Yeah. Because I was like singing along with it, and I was like hitting people like, dude, this I haven't heard this song in a minute, dude. I love this song. And like,
isn't it a great sing-along song?
Yeah, dude. I miss that song back in the late 90s or whatever. But all right, continue on.
Hey, blue on black.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for this week's Worst Friends. Follow us on Twitter at Worst Friends Pod. Like us on Facebook. We got all sorts of fun stuff going on there. Don't forget to look for us, you know, dropping this one. We'll let you know when it's out. And don't forget to share us your thoughts on The Hobbit. All right, you guys take your sleazy and enjoy the music.
Blue on black. Near, 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 near.